Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Extremely crystal clear that I was not going to bring something to our city council that we had not been in, and my feeling is, all of that through the negotiation, all of that, I mean, that had never changed. It's in writing multiple times, and the hesitancy to allow the city to go in the building before the expectation of being paid is the fundamental basis of real estate, I believe. As a matter of fact, it had been listed for sale, and there had been realtors that had already taken other people through the building with no offer or no anything. So the shadiness of that action tells you all you need to know. If we can't buy the building from you because you're worried about what we're going to see when you go in it, just tells you what you need to know.
Yeah, weird. This is about the old medical building on Palafox that the mayor has been trying to acquire, or the city's been trying to acquire. And he says, basically, look, they wanted us to not be inside. We're trying to demolish it. I'm not really sure why they wouldn't want us inside. But anyway, he says other people have been inside, and I don't know why they won't let us inside, but they want us to agree to a price and a deal without even being able to look inside the property. That's, he said it's shady, and sounds like it to me. So that's kind of discouraging, because we're really hoping, you know, you get your hope up that these things are going to happen, right? You get your hope up that, that building is going to get acquired, even though it's going to make somebody a bunch of money. That's fine. It's still worth doing now, even if you wish you could have done it before, done it differently before. You know, why couldn't we just acquire it straight from EC way back in the day? Well, we didn't. Okay, so done, over, whatever. Let's get rid of it now. It's the best example of blight, you know, the most vivid example of blight. And it's at the entrance to the city, at least one along one major road. So let's get rid of it. Well, you know, I don't know if we can. It's frustrating. I understand why the mayor wouldn't be eager to enter into a deal where we don't get to see the thing we're buying.
So I wouldn't say that it's something literal that we would find. I think it's more of, would you like to buy what's behind the curtain? And the answer is no. I'd like to buy seeing what's behind the curtain.
Right.
I'm not bringing to council a proposal of us to go under contract in any way with someone not willing to allow us to see what's behind the mystery curtain. We're not going to do that.
Yeah, he's not going to play Monty Hall, and I agree with him. I don't think we should be approaching it that way. 437-1620, 437-1620. Meanwhile, the conversation about Baptist, we had a little bit of this conversation with Wes Moreno just a few minutes ago. The mayor says, look, he's hoping that Lumen May, who is the District 3 commissioner, it's in his district, he's my commissioner, I live in District 3, that he's been talking with Lumen about solving this, the $2 million that the commission had said they would put in and now has gotten cold feet about. And it's not that they're saying no, it's that they're not saying at all. They just won't put it on the agenda. They didn't last time. It's not on the agenda for today. Maybe he will add it this morning. Wes said he's been in talks with some people even as late as, you know, last night. So I hope that it goes on there, because I just think they ought to make a decision. We have deal elements that are expiring, and, let's go. And I don't want the county commission to say no, but I don't think continuing to say nothing is an answer. I mean, it's almost a worse answer. And I don't know why, I don't know what's happened. It doesn't seem like there's great arguments for saying no. And so whenever there's not apparent great arguments for saying no, or at least they're not being made publicly, it starts to feel like there's something else that's not being said. And I don't know whether that's the case. I hate to imagine that that's the case, but I do know in Escambia County, sometimes personal and or political things get in the way. it does happen. And I don't know if some of the commissioners have gotten their feathers ruffled about D.C. That's one of the theories I've heard. I don't know if that's true. I don't know. If you want to get really Machiavellian about it, I mean, maybe the theory is that if the mayor can get Baptist demolished and get on the path to rebuilding that area and benefiting the lives and the economy of that very kind of blighted zone, and if he can solve that in time for next election, that looks like a big win for him. And if you can maybe not let him have that or deny him that, you know, even if it's just to delay it past the next election, and maybe you can get somebody else in office who you prefer in office. I mean, I don't know who's trying to influence it. Again, I hate to have to think that way, but the arguments that have been given don't add up to me. So what's the problem? Well, I don't know. And, you know, as the mayor said yesterday, this is a good project, and I hope they'll add it to the agenda this morning.
At the end of the day, this has got to go. Whatever proposal that Commissioner May wants to propose to the county commission, he has to do that. And so I hope that happens. But what I think the product of that, if we can get support and if Commissioner May can get support from his fellow commissioners, is yet again a regional community project that also would provide some value and some assurances to the community today and tomorrow in terms of what happens in and around the campus.
Yeah, but look, he's clear. You know, it's your decision to make. It's your money. It's your government. You're the ones elected to make the decision. And, you know, let's just, you know, have an actual conversation again, and let's just have a decision, and we'll deal with whatever that decision is. But we got, you know, bids for the demolition. That's a time-limited thing. You've got the money from the state. That's a time-limited thing. You've got the land donation agreement from Baptist. That's a time-limited thing, although it's been extended a couple of times.
Hopefully, he can bring something forward that's palatable. And if not, we're on a short timeline. I hope this is happening this week. But if not, then we'll decide our next move from there.
Yeah. So, and as a non-resident of the city, but a resident of the county, I hope that my elected officials will agree to do what they already agreed to before, and let's do it. Let's get Baptist taken care of. It would be a horrible thing to sit there, and it would be a great thing to put something much better in its place. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. If you were headed to the base this morning in Pensacola, traffic is backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. You okay?
I'll be fine.
Did you get a tadpole caught in that throat? I know it happens sometimes, live radio. Hey, if you're thinking about building, even if you're, you know, honestly, if you're thinking about buying a new house, a new house that's been built, you might think, what would I need a real estate agent for? Well, as Christine Leavenworth has said when she's been on Pep Talk, you know, one of the things about buying is you don't realize what kind of leverage and power you have. We do because we do this a lot. Even a new build. And by the way, the builders like to work with a realtor because they can help, you know, explain things to the client, maybe bridge that gap. So she can help you get a good price. Sellers are motivated. You know, she can help you work on that. But also, when you take possession, one of the things you might not realize is all the power you have to say, that's not right, that's not right, that's not right. And so she calls herself the blue tape queen. She'll go around the house and nope. These are all the things that need to be fixed. You expect a brand new house, you get a brand new house. You don't have to compromise on that. But you don't know. If you're buying a house, you don't know whether you can or you can't do that. And also, by the way, if you know that that's coming, then maybe they just do it better in the first place. The point is, a great realtor will help you in all kinds of ways you have never even thought of, maybe. Even buying a new house. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Reinke Realty can help with that. 786-3996.
Here's today's Strength for Life.
Nehemiah in the Old Testament is a great example of the familiar quote, pray like everything depends on God, but also work like everything depends on you. In Nehemiah 4, the people of God are rebuilding the wall around Jerusalem, and they're at the halfway point. After being threatened by opposition from the north, south, east, and west, Nehemiah does two equally important things. He prays to God, and then he posts guards around Jerusalem. Nehemiah clearly believes in the power of prayer as seen throughout the book, but interestingly, he also believes in the power of personal initiative. Nehemiah believes in doing what he can to solve his own problem. Nehemiah prays fervently like his success depends on God, but he also works diligently like it depends on him. Ladies and gentlemen, as you pray about your problems, remember that sometimes God's answer will be to use your personal initiative to meet your need.
For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Veris Health Partners knows there are plenty of options when it comes to insurance. Owners Pam and Keith Giles will help guide you to choose the best plans for you and your family. As a veteran-owned independent health and life agency in Pensacola, their clients range from moms and dads on Medicare to individuals, families, business owners, and veterans who are looking for answers. They are researchers, educators, and advocates who take pride in guiding clients to become smart healthcare shoppers. Contact them at verishp.com. Veris Health Partners.
For almost two decades, Bella Magazine has been celebrating the women of the greater Pensacola community. The tradition continues as Bella Magazine brings print to radio every month on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Tune in today at 9 to hear latest health and wellness, philanthropy, stories on local businesses and women, fashion and beauty, home and garden, food and wine, travel stories, and more. That's the Bella Magazine Show, today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We would have gotten away with it if it hadn't been for you meddling kids.
I would say it was a big announcement yesterday, but I think the internet and the great state of Florida, no offense to Paul Renner, but the collective reaction to his announcement that he's running for governor was, you know, he's a good guy, he's a capable legislator, he's a veteran, you know, this means that, you know, maybe, well, DeSantis, I thought maybe DeSantis would be on board. No, DeSantis has got whoever his own people are going to be, whether it's Casey or, I don't know, Jay Collins or somebody else. But, you know, we got Byron Donalds is in, and he's got Trump's endorsement. And Paul Renner is in. And there's a lot of silence. And we'll see if DeSantis puts somebody in. You know, the long rumor was that it would be Casey. We'll see. Not yet. You know, would it be Jay Collins? I don't know. We'll see. Is there going to be a war between Trump and DeSantis as DeSantis is leaving office? What was the expression? We'll see. We'll see. 7:21 on News Radio 92.3. We're a long way off still from this election. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
A phone call between President Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is set to happen today in another attempt to arrange peace talks with Russia. Trump told reporters that after today's conversation with Zelensky, he should know pretty much what he's going to do. A federal judge says that the Trump administration's move to freeze billions of dollars in grant money to Harvard is illegal. Yesterday, a judge sided with Harvard, which argued the funding freeze was in retaliation for the university refusing to give in to the administration's demands, which they believe would have violated the First Amendment. And the Powerball jackpot. Nobody won again. Up now to $1.7 billion. Well, yeah. Still here. Nobody matched all six numbers. So it's now the fourth largest grand prize in Powerball history. The next drawing is on Saturday. So we'll see Monday if I'm here.
That's right. Well, you'll come in for one day. And then would you not come in? I think you would come in for a day.
I think I would probably.
You would enjoy that last day. Well, it's like Kevin always tells us, you know, you can say anything you want.
Well,
on your
last
day.
I'd probably have to come in until the check clears, right?
Until you actually get that big piece of cardboard.
That's right.
That's funny. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:23 News Radio 92.3. Thought this was interesting. The F-35 program, and for any of you who've been following this story for all the years that we have been tracking the F-35 program, you're probably like, oh, no, what now? Well, yeah, I mean, it's another one, just like that. So the F-35 is this new, bestest, greatest, wonderfulest jet that's going to solve all of the problems of interoperability and, you know, getting the Air Force and the Navy and the Marines and everybody to work together. We're going to give them their own version, and it's going to be fantastic. And it is. It's a fantastic piece of hardware. That doesn't mean that everything around it has been done quite right. And, for example, there is a reward that you get if you are Lockheed Martin and you deliver the F-35s on time, which makes sense. You know, Although I always think that it's more like if you agreed to deliver them on this schedule, that you just get paid what you get paid on schedule. And if you're ahead of schedule, you get a reward. And if you're behind schedule, you get a penalty. I don't know why we pay extra for you just doing your job. But okay, fine. You know, whatever. I don't make these contracts. Apparently they are now getting the incentives for on-time delivery, even though they're not delivering them on time. They're up to 60 days late. So they're actually getting paid extra to fail. Cool. The Government Accounting Office says unless the F-35 program reevaluates its use of incentive fees and better aligns them to achieving desired production schedule outcomes, it will be at greater risk of continuing to reward contractors for delivering engines and aircraft late. Now, that is a perfectly garbled sentence. what they should say is the F-35 program is rewarding the contractor for failing. This needs to change. That, I mean, but, you know, they wrote it in government speak, so whatever. I don't write the contract. I don't write the reprimand memo. I don't get to write any of these things. They don't ask me. What else? File this in your, man, that sounds really terrible, file. But here goes. Apparently, Medicare is going to start using AI to disqualify claims. And the claims that it rejects, you know how when you go to make a claim for something and then they tell you yes or no and whatever. If it's initial rejection that the AI offers, they will get a reward for telling you no. In other words, the new plan is, this is a test, okay? This is a test of a handful of states, New Jersey, Ohio, Oklahoma, Texas, Arizona, Washington. Thank God we're not in it. Begins in January. The AI tools will be used to judge claims for a dozen different types of procedures that are deemed wasteful and also not super beneficial, like steroid shots to relieve pain, is the example given from the New York Times. They're not going to be for emergency service or hospital stays. So it's margin call cases in unimportant treatments, and it's only in six states of the pilot program. But the AI is going to be aggressively trying to say no, and they're going to reward the AI for saying no to you as the customer. Awesome. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a traffic light out, Pine Forest and Mobile Highway. Remember, that's a four-way stop until they fix it. Also, a vehicle crash, 9th Avenue at Tippin. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
You know, if you, like, offer a commission, a reward, an incentive structure to saying, I mean, it's bad enough that there would even be the disposition to say no as a first response, right? Because this is always the theory everybody has about insurance companies, is that the insurance company's job is to say no first and see if you push back. You know, we were just having this conversation with my son, who had gotten it was over a very small amount of money. It was like $29. But, they had done it wrong for a dentist. They had done it wrong. And, he's living on his own and he's making good money. And, you know, my wife keeps, have you called the dentist to fix this problem and get the $29? And then he's like, I'll just write you a check. It's easy. I'll just write you a check. And we're like, we raised you better than this. They want you to give up. They're gaming so that you give up. The whole point is to make it so that you want to give up. And there are billions of dollars involved in a lot of you giving up. Yeah, but it's just not worth my time for 29. I know, but that's how they win. So it's terrible to believe that's true. I mean, we know that's true. It's extra terrible when the government-provided healthcare is going to pay AI a bonus for pre-denying people. Presumably on the hopes that they'll give up. 728. Hey, happy day. happy Thursday. 728 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Hey, if you need any kind of work done inside your home, whether it is electrical or plumbing or air conditioning or heating, Pete and they can take care of you. They've been doing this since 1969. And I just love this story. That's why I like to tell it, because, you know, Robert Peden, this massively successful all of Northwest Florida and also into Alabama company that's all the way from basically Tallahassee over to Mobile. He started in 1969 basically because he was hot in Florida and he thought, let's do some air conditioning. So he did some, and he did some for his family and friends and started to make a business out of it. And now, you know, 56 years later, it's this massive company that does all of this work to help people in, you know, professional service, professional quality products. They stand by it with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. It's just kind of amazing how things happen. This storm season, you know, this month during September, get power and savings. Save $1,500 until the end of hurricane season. So not just September, but through the end of hurricane season on a dependable and powerful Briggs & Stratton standby generator. You can call or book online or get more information at Peden, PEADEN.com. 729 on News Radio 92.3. I just thought this was such an interesting story. It's a UK story. It's women, when they go out jogging, get harassed, right? It's obnoxious. It's wicked. It makes them not want to be in public. It makes them feel icky. It's all the kinds of things that are just bad. Well, in Surrey, which is right outside of London, they've basically got cops, female cops, who will go out and occasionally join the other female joggers and jog with them in an effort to catch and discourage and identify people who catcall and whistle and basically make women feel like they don't want to be out in public. Good. Good. I mean, it's, you know, it's the kind of thing like the ordinary man is built to want to protect women, especially even from other men. This is police doing what can be done to protect women from obnoxious, awful men. Good.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. But first, Lady Melania Trump hosts a meeting at the White House with the AI task force she put together. Her goal, helping the next generation use artificial intelligence.
More than 100 private sector leaders who the White House says have pledged to support AI education or the presidential AI challenge, which was announced last month. The White House has framed the AI challenge as a natural extension of Mrs. Trump's commitment to education in the digital age, aligning with her Be Best initiative.
Fox is checking Heinrich of the White House. Fireworks later this morning when HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. answers questions from the Senate Finance Committee. Maha Senior Advisor Kelly Means earlier on Fox and Friends.
Secretary Kennedy's been preparing all week. I have never seen him more fired up. I'm very excited about this hearing.
Oregon Democratic Senator Ron Wyden warns Kennedy is setting up the nation for a health care calamity. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, we've got sunshine and 71 degrees here in Pensacola. Our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. Well, Senator Rick Scott wants more oversight on California and how they spend money they get to prevent wildfires. He sent a letter to Interior Secretary Doug Burgum yesterday. He sent that after a recent visit to California. Scott says it appears to him that California's trouble with wildfire mitigation is not due to a lack of funding, but rather foot dragging and red tape. He's asking Burgum to investigate and help shed light on California's waste. Got an update on that boy that was bit by a shark in the Florida Keys. 8-year-old Richard Burrows was bit by a black tip shark on Monday while he was snorkeling off of Key Largo. He's now in a Miami hospital. Family members say he's recovering well after his surgery, gaining strength by the day, and they say that he's in good spirits. Well, Pensacola's mayor defending the planned installation of 18 LPR cameras across the city. The city recently signing a 2-year contract with Flock Cameras. Those cameras provide not only license plate information, but identifying information on every vehicle that passes.
In this city, public safety is number one. And if we can improve outcomes in public safety, as Chief Brown shared, the fact that we had a missing child case, an open case that was solved because of license plate readers, then, you know, we're going to go with what we believe gives everybody here the best outcome.
Mayor D.C. Reeves, he says the cameras will keep citizens safe, and the only counterbalance to that is a license plate being read. He thinks that he's doing the right thing. Well, Governor Ron DeSantis and Surgeon General Dr. Joseph Latipo yesterday announcing plans to remove vaccine mandates across the state. The governor says some of those mandates were created by the Florida Department of Health. Others are part of state law.
Anything beyond statute, Joe has the ability to bring back. So that's what he is going to do. The rest would require changes from the legislature.
The governor also announcing plans to create a state MAHA commission that would implement recommendations from U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. House Democrats accusing the governor of trading children's health for media headlines. An arrest made in that shooting Sunday on West Gadsden Street. 30-year-old Robert Bruster was identified as a suspect in that case. PPD says he's charged with attempted murder, possession of a firearm by a felon, and felony criminal mischief. One person was hurt in that incident. Their injuries were described as not being life-threatening. 735 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with PJ.
Traffic's brought to you by Barbary Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barbary, 477-8782. It is quite a busy day out there. Traffic light out at Pine Forest and Mobile Highway. That's a four-way stop until further notice. Also, a vehicle crash, 9th Avenue at Tippin. Use caution through that area. And finally, we just had a report of New Warrington Road southbound. That is backed up from Lillian Highway to Chiefs Way. Might be caused by a vehicle crash. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much. Now our Channel 3 forecast.
We do have a beautiful day in store for you today. High near 88 degrees. Just a small 10% chance of a stray sprinkle. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72. Going into Friday, beautiful weather continues. High near 90 degrees. 10% chance of rain. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Keeping this nice weather into Saturday, mostly sunny with a 10% chance of rain and a high near 90 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
71 and sunny right now. Your next news in 30 minutes and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Lawmakers on Capitol Hill have less than 4 weeks to reach a deal to avoid a government shutdown at the end of September. Lawmakers will likely consider a stopgap measure to keep funding going for federal agencies, but even that could face hurdles. A federal judge has ruled the Trump administration improperly cut off $2.2 billion in research funding from Harvard University and must restore the funds, concluding the Trump administration's actions violated Harvard's constitutional rights. The Trump administration vowed to appeal the court ruling. Figma surpassed revenue estimates for the second quarter in its first earnings report as a public company. The company also issued guidance for the third quarter and full year that beat expectations. Futures are mixed amid a slew of inflation data that is due out today and tomorrow. To Wednesday, the Dow Industrials lost 24, the NASDAQ up 218, the S&P 500 up 32. That's Your Money Now.
You know those big banks where you're just an account number, where customer service is a chatbot, and hold music is your least favorite song? Yeah, we're not that. We're Penair Credit Union. Local, member-owned, and actually built to work for you. With better rates, few, if any, fees, and service from people who know you by name. So why bank big when you can bank better? Visit penair.org to learn more. Federally insured by NCUA.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
The Florida Bright Futures Scholarship isn't just about covering tuition. It can help you pursue your dreams at any Florida State University, community college, or eligible trade school. Whether you want to become a teacher, study engineering, learn a skilled trade, or start your own business, Bright Futures can help you achieve your goals. The best part? It's funded by the Florida Lottery, so when people play, students win. Visit floridabrightfutures.gov to learn more about your options, check your eligibility, and start your application. Your bright future starts here.
This message is brought to you by the Florida Lottery and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of of the day.
Guy keeps you engaged and informed.
Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride.
Tune in to the Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m.
It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more.
On News Radio Pensacola.
Suspect came out of the gate next to his house, fired once into the ground, and then drew down on this 11-year-old boy who was running away.
You don't think he haphazardly shot the gun and it accidentally hit the boy? You believe that he aimed at this boy?
That is exactly what we believe.
Was there ever a moment where your team considered this may have been self-defense?
No, never. There were no weapons that this young man had. There's nothing to suggest that he was taking property.
This is a follow-up on that story we talked about several times about the ding-dong ditch, the 11-year-old boy who got shot in the back by the homeowner. It's way worse than we even thought. I mean, he had been in the neighborhood. Apparently, they had rung the doorbell of this house previously once or twice that night, so I can understand why the homeowner was annoyed. No objection there. You can be annoyed. What you can't do is take your weapon out and hide in the shadows behind your fence and wait for him to come, ring the doorbell, and then let alone point your gun at them. That's a crime. And shoot him. That's a crime. In the back. I mean, it's just murder. And he was, in fact, charged. Finally, with this, it took him a day or two to get the charge in, but finally he was. Joining us now is not here, obviously. This is elsewhere, but still crazy. What a horrible story. Let's see. We got Mike Wood, who is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. Mike, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. You and I talk so much about, you and I and Sheriff Johnson and Sheriff Simmons and everybody else talk about guns and appropriate use of guns, self-defense, and all that kind of stuff. I assume that you're, law enforcement were kind of watching this story in amazement and horror, and that finally the fact that he got arrested was kind of like, well, thank God for that, because that's what it fits, right?
Yeah, this one seems pretty clean cut, but in all cases, you have to look at each and every case differently. And before they brought charges, they wanted to make sure they had everything right, and sometimes that takes a day or two.
Yeah, right. And sometimes you got it, certain jurisdictions, I guess you have to consult with the SAO or the DA or whatever, and that's fine, but. Anyway, glad that this, it's not here, but still, you hate to see something like that be nationwide news. It's so horrible. Here locally, we did have a shooting on the 800 block of West Gadsden, and you guys have made an arrest, right?
Yeah, that was early Sunday morning. An officer heard gunshots in that area. He happened to be very close. We also, moments later, got a ShotSpotter notification of the incident. It was in the 800 block of Gadsden Street. When they arrived, they found an adult male who had been shot multiple times. And fortunately, he's going to be okay. The detectives got right on this case, as they always do, and were able to develop information, and yesterday made an arrest in that case.
Great. I mean, a terrible thing, but that's why we have you guys there to deal with the terrible things. You mentioned SpotShotter, and I just don't know the status of it. I know the sheriff said the funding is going to expire and they're not going to be able to get it for next year. Are you guys in the same boat? Do we know what's going to happen with ShotSpotter in the future?
Yeah, we are, and we're in collaboration, and we're going to look and try to find alternate sources of funding, because it's really a great program, and we hate to see anything happen to it. So that's something that we're going to have to wait and see and see what happens. But again, we're looking and hoping to find some alternative sources of funding.
On that note, I know the story about the license plate readers, license plate cameras. Correct me if I've gotten this wrong. I think there's going to be 18 of them in total, about $108,000. And I thought I read, am I right in thinking that those also have a gunshot detection system carried along with them?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, okay.
on an LPR. So if that's the case, I've never heard of that. But,
okay.
But not saying, I don't think so. But yeah, this is LPRs or license plate readers are something that's not new to this area. It will be new to the city, but they're all over the country, and they've proven their worth. They are very good at detecting vehicles that we need, especially in situations like kidnappings, homicides, even silver alerts when they go out. So It's a very good system, you know, and with anything new, I remember when dash cams and police cars and body cams came out, people were worried about privacy and things like that. But with anything new, we're going to have there's going to be some opposition. But the good far outweighs the bad on these license plate readers.
Well, and, you know, I was talking with Rick Hawthorne, Chief Hawthorne, Gulf Breeze Police, about this when they made the decision a couple of months ago. And, you know, he was kind of running through some of the scenarios that these things can be useful for. And like you said, you know, amber alerts, silver alerts, potentially, you know, orders of protection, you know, if you're worried about somebody, they're not going to be on every side street, but it does offer you the opportunity that if a crime has happened or you might think is about to happen, or even a license plate that you're suspicious of. I mean, there's all kinds of ways this can be used, including the example he gave me was, you know, you're on the beach and somebody does a hit and run, and you can basically go back and look over the data and see what, you know, how many two-door red sedans crossed that camera in the hour after the incident was reported, or the half hour before, cross-reference that, and you can start to build, you know, a database of suspects, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's been another case. It was not here, but a male threatened his wife, said he was going to come back from out of state and kill her and the kids. They were able to put his license plate. He's from out of state, but they put the system in, or license plate in the system. And sure enough, he came three states away to that city, and the license plate readers alerted local law enforcement that, hey, he is now in town. Officers were able to get to that house. And they got there before he did. So those LPRs saved that young lady's life and probably the kids as well. So there's a lot of good reasons to have them. We're glad to see them and hope they stay.
The data collected by the license plate readers is not kept permanently. The data collected by the license plate readers is not public record. Both of those are true, right?
Yeah, and also, there's been some concern about law enforcement or people who have access to that information using it in the wrong way. And I can tell you that if that happens, it's just like right now, you know, I can put a tag in the computer in my vehicle and run it, but you have to have a reason for doing that. You can't do it for personal use. And if you get caught doing that, it's going to end your career and take your standards in Florida where you can't be a police officer anymore. So there are severe consequences for anybody that would do something like that. There are rules in place for the abuse.
And I believe, at least, again, going on the pattern at Gulf Breeze, you tell me if it's going to be different at PPD, but beat patrol officer is not even able to use them directly. It's going to be supervisors that authorize it and input data. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of times, you know, we'll get the information like from the real-time crime center on vehicles that we're looking for, and it's dispatched to us. So we don't have access to any of that information. The patrol officer does not.
Very good. We're talking to Mike Wood. He's the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. We'll be back with him in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a brand new vehicle crash, I-10 westbound, right near 110. Florida Highway Patrol saying that there's a roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. On the license plate readers, we're talking to Mike Wood, the PIO for Pensacola Police Department, or the PPD PIO, as I like to say, when I'm using my mental shorthand. When do we know when these are going to get implemented?
No, it's several months away, which is much better than several years away. So contracts have to be drawn up, locations have to be determined, and things like that. So no, I don't have a solid answer for you at this
point.
And
cost is that right? About $100,000 for the 18? Do you know?
That's what I understand. Yes.
Okay. Very good. I also assume that unlike red light cameras, where we warned you they were coming, we told you where they were going to be, and whenever you cross one, there's a massive sign that says, hey, it's here, dummy. Part of the value of the LPRs is that they are not going to be super highly advertised. Are they mobile, as in can you change locations pretty easily? I thought that was true of the Gulf Breeze ones.
Yeah, you can change locations, but being the pretty easy part is the problem. So
I see.
Yeah, we're not going to release the information on where they are, and it's very obvious why, because, you know, the system can be defeated and will be useless. So that information is something that we're going to keep to ourselves and again, for obvious reasons.
And are they going to be, like, I know, again, I hate to keep using Gulf Breeze, but I just know more about that particular case. They have one that was their pilot test one, which was attached to, I think, a trailer, basically, that they could move around to different places. Is the plan to have a mobile version of this as well?
Well, we've already done that. We've already had them on our cruisers, and that was years ago. LPRs are not something new. So they are able to be put on cars. They can be put on mobile trailers. They can go just about anywhere. So to answer your question, I don't know just yet on what we're going to do with them. Most of them are going to be permanently mounted. But they are something that you can see mounted on police vehicles if necessary.
Gotcha. We also had overnight yesterday, a vehicle burglary. Is that right? That you wanted, which you caught the guy, which is good. But go ahead.
Yeah, that was Friday night on John Carroll Drive. We had a burglary in progress call. A male was seen going into multiple vehicles. Officers got to the area. They set up a perimeter. They used a drone. They also used a K-9 and eventually tracked him to the trunk of a vehicle. He was able to get out of that trunk and flee as officers approached, but a foot pursuit began, and they were quickly able to take him into custody, and the stolen items were located and returned to the owner. So happy ending there.
Great. Well, we'll take it. Let's see. I thought I had one other. Oh, yeah. I saw a story, and I know we're a couple weeks in after back to school already, but I thought it was a very interesting observation. And it was basically a warning from law enforcement about back-to-school photos, which, of course, the first day back, you want to take a picture of your kid and brag about how they're going to kindergarten or seventh grade or, you know, whatever the case may be. But the story was indicating that a lot of parents don't think too much about the ramifications of putting a photo with your kid and his name and his teacher's name and the school and what time they let out. And maybe in the background of the photo it has your house and your street address on the house. I mean, you know, not great ideas all the time. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, photos of children and addresses can be a problem. That's something that we don't ever suggest that you do. But there's nothing wrong with posting your children online if that's what you want to do. A lot of people are totally against that and won't do it. And others are the opposite and will post everything their child's doing in school. And they're very proud of them, their extracurricular activities that they're doing. So that's something that you have to make, a decision you have to make on your own as a parent.
And I will, you know, Mike's talking about me, by the way. or at least, you know, if intentionally or not. For parents who might be wondering if it's okay to not post pictures of your kids on social media, I've never one time in my entire life posted a picture of any of my kids or my wife on social media because of what I do. But also, at a certain point, my decision was I wanted them to have the ability to control their own digital identity. And I didn't want to impose upon them whatever, you know, my life or occupation would. And so I just kept them completely off of social media. And I can't see how that created any problem, you know, whereas photos of kids can create a problem. It doesn't automatically. I know everybody does it, but I'm giving you permission. You have Andrew McKay's permission not to do it. Anything you want to add to that, Mike?
No, not at all. It's a decision that, I mean, it can't hurt if you don't. And most of the time, fortunately, it doesn't hurt if you do. So right. It's a decision that you have to make on your own.
You had a case that we had not had a chance to talk about this. You had a guy who I think, if I remember correctly, correct me if I'm wrong, was a felon who wound up getting arrested. And in his car, on his person, you found brass knuckles for which he got an additional charge for a concealed weapon. And that was my question is, I mean, are you allowed to own them? Are they a concealed weapon? Can you get prosecuted for that? And, you know, I don't know the status. I mean, I don't have any. I'm not intending to buy any, but I'm curious.
Well, concealed carry of brass knuckles in Florida is not legal, even with a permit. So
really?
And you can't sell them in Florida. But strictly having them, having them is not necessarily against the law. It depends, you know, if you're a convicted felon, then there's a problem there. But possessing or carrying brass knuckles concealed is illegal and can lead to criminal charges and enhanced penalties if you use them, if you strike somebody with them.
Okay, so is that true also of, like, the little throwing stars, shuriken? Is that true of a nunchucks? Is that, like, I don't know what's the in and the out list, and I'm curious because people may wonder.
Yeah, I mean, they're deadly weapons. So, you know, once again, if it depends on your criminal history, and in the manner that you use them. And simple possession is not always against the law, but once you conceal them or once you use them when you are a convicted felon, then things begin to change at that point.
Even with a permit, even if I have, and I actually have one, although you don't need one anymore in Florida, but if you have a concealed carry permit, you still can't conceal carry a brass knuckles or a throwing stars or, you know, is that true?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, that's true.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, you, every day you learn something. Hey, do you have any did you know or a cop myth for us today?
I do, and this has to do with some calls that we've gotten sometimes about video. If, you know, I'm getting tired of people videoing me in public, videoing my children, and they call the police. And unfortunately, there's not anything we can do about that if you are in public and have no reasonable expectation of privacy. So, and you see a lot of that online with First Amendment auditors and things like that. And if you are in public, there's not a thing that the police can do about anyone videoing you with their phone. But it's a little bit different with audio. And audio, with audio, you have both parties have to be aware that there is an audio recording in progress.
Yeah, because Florida's a two-party consent state, right, for recordings.
Right.
And then also, I mean, obviously there are exceptions when, you know, somebody's trying to do something lurid, you know, shooting video up somebody's skirt, something like that, or harassing, invading their personal space. That kind of, that can become a crime. But general recording is not a crime.
That's correct. Yeah, but yeah, when you're starting to record, like you said, young ladies up close, then that is a crime. But just walking down the street, people get annoyed of others recording them with their phones, and sometimes the police get called, and there's just nothing we can do about that at that point.
Very good. And, you know, laws can be changed. If you don't like that law, want it to be more restrictive, you can always talk to your legislator. We have a few in the area, and they might listen to you. Mike Wood is the public information officer for the Pensacola Police Department. As always, Mike, thank you so much for the time, for keeping us informed and clarifying us, and for helping, you know, tell the other folks in your force how much we appreciate them. I know you do that a bunch, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. 755 News Radio 92.3 PJ Scott, traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash I-10 westbound right near 110. Florida Highway Patrol saying there's a roadblock. Use caution. Also, debris in the roadway, I-110 southbound right near Crescent Drive. Use caution in that area as well. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hey, if you need any kind of video production done, if you need to make an ad for your business, for the boat you're trying to sell, for your house you're trying to sell, for a real estate project that you're working on, the restaurant. You know, you want to show people how cool your restaurant is and how much fun it is. Video production, Pelican Drones can do that. They don't just do drones. I know it's part of their name. It's their identity, of course. They've been doing drones for forever, whether it's working with, Alabama Department of Transportation or FDOT or Visit Alabama or FPL or Innisfree or, you know, doing people's houses outside for insurance purposes. But ground-based video, moving video, drone-based video, fly-throughs, whatever, and then they can package it for you, too. They can make the 15-second ad or the 30-second ad, and then you own it when they're done. Buy them by the day, by the half day, by the hour. They're very reasonable, and they are fantastic. Find out more about how you can have video done for you professionally. PelicanDrones.com.
It's the Always Sunny Show. When you're ready to throw a barbecue, it's Always Sunny's. Join us on Friday at 9:30 with me, Eldon Scott.
Fast-paced team environment. Apply today at catcountry987.com. That's catcountry987.com. ADX is an equal opportunity employer.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season. The Pensacola Expert Panel. Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Only two things scare me, and one is nuclear war.
What's the other?
Excuse me?
What's the other thing that scares you?
Carnies. Circus folk. Nomads, you know. Smell like cabbage.
I got a feeling she won't let go. Oh, no. Cause every time I think that we're alone, somebody's eyes are watching.
I know. Somebody's eyes. It's been 40 years since you heard this song, hasn't it? But you know it. It's burned in your brain. 7:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning, Andrew. Well, leaders from across Europe are meeting in Paris today to discuss ways to protect Ukraine from Russia. French President Emmanuel Macron and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer leading the summit. Apparently, they're calling it the Coalition of the Willing. It includes 30 countries and the European Union. President Trump says they are still deciding if his administration will or will not use the National Guard to fight crime in Chicago. J.B. Pritzker's still bracing, though. President Trump suggested on Wednesday that he may instead send troops to New Orleans. But he said they have a great governor who wants us to come in.
I did actually get one person, Will, had sent me a couple of mock-ups of J.B. Pritzker bracing against the barricade, and the most hilarious one is he's bracing behind a barricade and the Hummers are behind him.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McCoy.